This is an LTD Entertainment presentation.
Welcome to Brian C. Pusey's Safe Haven Podcast, where our aim is to encourage, enhance, and advance you to the next level on your Christian journey. We're prayerful that you'll stick around and listen to the message that God has for you, delivered by yours truly, Reverend Brian C. Pusey. The door is open. Let's go in together. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Singing and praying with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Safe Haven Podcast is really growing, and I am so grateful for everyone who's taken a part in its growth. And also, as we continue to grow in the Lord, grow in the faith in doing this as a ministry that's gone beyond four walls, coming soon will be, I won't say merchandise, but I will say at least something to showcase that you represent Safe Haven Podcast near and afar. Stay tuned in future podcasts for more information on this wonderful idea. Thank you for listening to this wonderful, wonderful message. Now, for those who live in the greater Chicagoland area, Northwest Indiana area, if you are interested in having I, Reverend Brian C. Pusey, come and speak at your with your congregation, I would love it. Please, please contact me at bpughsley@yahoo.com. That's bpusey@yahoo.com with the heading Safe Haven Ministry Invitation. I would be glad and honored to come to your congregation and bless you with the word that the Lord has given me. Please reach out and let's build this community together. It's prayer time here at Safe Haven, praying that for everyone that's going through any struggles right now, financial struggles, employment struggles, bereavement, you name it, anything that you're going through, just want to encourage you to let you know that God is still with you. God is still going to keep you no matter what. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to just right now thank you for another opportunity to be able to wake up and to be able to say thank you, oh Heavenly Father. We thank you right now for our families, oh Heavenly Father. If we don't have any family right now, Heavenly Father, we pray your name for allowing us to have you in our family. Matter of fact, to be a part of your family, oh Heavenly Father. Keep us girded up where we may not even know that we need girding right now, Heavenly Father. We want to pray for everybody that's going through a financial struggle right now, Heavenly Father. Continue to use and guide them to the right light. Oh, Heavenly Father, continue to be with them. Also want to pray right now for everyone who's still going through bereavement right now, Heavenly Father, for whatever the case may be. It could have been COVID, could have been just natural causes, could have been violence or whatever, oh, Heavenly Father. Right now, we just want to just pray a prayer of bereavement, oh, Heavenly Father. Continue to comfort the families of those that are in bereavement right now, Heavenly Father. Continue to use them and let them know that the memory is still alive within their heart and in their soul, Heavenly Father. For that way, the person may be absent us right now in our presence, but guess what, oh, Heavenly Father, they'll always be with us in the heavenly presence, oh, Heavenly Father. Right now, we also want to pray for every church door that is open in your name, every minister that's coming forth to give the word, oh, Heavenly Father. Pray, be with them right now, Heavenly Father. And right now, we also want to pray for every podcast, oh, Heavenly Father, that's doing what we are doing right now. Continue to guide them and guide every leader, every producer, whatever it has to be done. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for this podcast. Continue to keep it going, Heavenly Father. No matter if it's a rebroadcast or a new broadcast, Heavenly Father, just be with us, oh, Heavenly Father, and pray that this ministry continues to grow and continues to flourish. Heavenly Father, pray right now for the word that is coming forth, oh, Heavenly Father. Yes, it may have been presented before, oh, Heavenly Father, but let it be presented in a new light, oh, Heavenly Father, with new ears, new outlook, oh, Heavenly Father, in a way that has never been done before, oh, Heavenly Father. I want to pray for myself completely, oh, Heavenly Father. Continue to lift me up. Continue to encourage me, oh, Heavenly Father, for where I may feel a little weak and a little discouraged, oh, Heavenly Father. Continue to use me in a way that you see fit, oh, Heavenly Father. So right now, I just want to pray thank you. Pray this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. The next message that you're hearing today was recorded previously on January 3rd of this year. The message is coming from Hebrews. It's about encouragement, about trying to push us into our greatness. This past week, I've gone through a few things personally that made me doubt myself a little bit. I felt a little discouraged. But thanks to very good friends, I got out and was put back in a light that encouraged me. Matter of fact, I realized that I had a focus issue, and it was pretty eye-opening, I will say. But the beautiful thing was, there I was. I felt it. I told my friend right on the spot. I said, I feel encouraged, and I thank you for being around. Thank you for everything you've done. You know, these days, you gotta thank the person while you can, say that you love a person while you can, and you know, and whatnot. And the thing was, then something else happened that pushed me, or pressed me. Matter of fact, I believe it was the events that the Lord had put in play. In order for me to realize that the next step is waiting for me to just make that move. And I know the message that you're about to hear is not completely new, but even if you heard it before, but if you hear it this week with a fresh take, because I preached this message back in January. Here we are in the first Sunday in January, but here we are the first Sunday in September, Labor Day weekend. This is probably going to be heard with a fresh take. I'm not sure how many people go back and listen to the other messages, but this message that you're about to hear today from myself to you will probably be brought about differently to you. I pray that you are encouraged by this message. I've seen in the past the numbers of people that listened to it were encouraged. Some have come back to me and told me that. But the Lord placed it on my heart to rebroadcast this to you today on this Sunday. I pray that you are encouraged. And don't forget, no matter how fresh or not fresh, depending on your ears, that this message is, please know that God is with you. He is always with you. He's there when you need him. Once again, I pray that this encourages you and uplifts you in the best way possible. So without further ado, I'm going to present to you the great encouragement preached by yours truly, Reverend Brian C. Pusely. Welcome back to Safe Haven Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Reverend Brian C. Pusely, praying that everyone is doing well today. Just want to lift up special prayers to everybody out there that's going through things that are seen or unseen. And just want to let you know that there's someone out there is caring and praying for you on the daily. So without further ado, we're going to get to the word this morning. Going to be coming from the letters of Hebrews, coming from the 10th chapter. Going to be reading to you from verse 24 to 31, reading to you from the New Revised Standard Version. It reads as follows. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we willfully persist in sin, having received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two to three or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I ask for you all to pray with me on the topic, the great encouragement. The great encouragement. You know, as I was meditating this week, a lot of things had been pulling me left and right, back and forth, to make me kind of wonder. It's like, what am I doing? Why am I still doing this? You know, I struggle with that every day, everyone. It's not an easy thing to come up here and record something that's beyond my realm of understanding. Yes, I do understand what I'm saying, and I do understand, and I do study to show myself approved to be able to get up here. But it's, you know, but every day is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing for me to get up and say, "Oh, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to record something, do something that the Lord has called me to do," and it's easy. No, it's not easy. If anything was easy, then we have everything we want. We would have every person we want, every job we want, every item out there that we want. We'd be like people who have lots of money but don't have a heart. There is a big difference between having money and heart. You can have lots of money and still don't know what in the world you're doing. You know, it's kind of interesting. And I was reading this and, you know, it kind of made me think about a few things, you know. At first, when I read the 24th verse, I'm like, let us consider how to provoke one another to love. First off, I didn't catch to love and good deeds. I just got the part where it said provoke one another. I'm like, wait a minute, you trying to say we about to learn how to provoke each other, try to make us angry? And, you know, and then God stopped me. He said, keep reading, and then read it again. You know, sometimes when we read scripture, we only read it one time. Read that line one time, whether we get it or not, we don't sometimes, and then we just instantly just snap right on into thinking one thing, and we're not reading the context. We're not reading the context of the content. And without reading the context, you seem to get thrown off, because the first thing you'd be thinking is like, oh man, now we got to consider how to provoke one another. Okay, I'm going to go out there and make this person mad at me for whatever reason, and then we'll see what happens. No, but then when you read on, provoke one another to love and good deeds. In other words, it's kind of like saying, in a layman's term, let us consider how to encourage one another to love and good deeds. That's probably would have been a better word, you know what I'm saying, to say instead of provoke, because you're depending on a lot of us, when we hear the word provoke, we're thinking, oh man, about to poke somebody in a bad way. But in this case, it kind of makes you think, you know, and I've read in scriptures a lot where it talks about these things. It talks about it in Ephesians, Corinthians, and pretty much all the scripture. But, you know, one of the things that I've always wondered, and I remember discussing with a friend a long time ago, and, you know, it's like, he's like, I know what's right out there. In other words, I was telling him, why you keep doing the wrong thing? I'm like, yeah, it's one thing to know right, but to do right is a better thing. And, you know, and it kind of made me think about some things. You know, and what are we going through these days? And who is on your side? Who's encouraging you to do the right thing? Now, we might have a lot of hanger-oners. I call them hanger-oners. They probably call something else. They probably call leeches or called associates, acquaintances, and some of us may even mistakenly think that they're friends. You know, they're people that are around you, but what are they doing? What are they doing around you? Are they lifting you up? Are they tearing you down? Or are they just not really paying attention to you? It kind of made me think about that, because I remember during the summer, matter of fact, I can almost say for the past 6 years with this person. It's been off and on with this person. I mean, are we friends? Are we more? Are we this? Are we that? It really didn't matter, because quite frankly, it kind of made me wonder, what was their purpose in my world? What was their purpose in my life? And then it wasn't up until close to my 40th birthday, then that the truth finally shed some light on. It was shed to me, you know, and it was like, God finally woke me up and said, this person ain't here for your welfare. They ain't considered, they're not here to build you up. This person around to tear you down. They've been trying to tear you down from day one. Here you are trying to build them up, trying to gird them up in a certain way. And I started to realize that. And I think I really realized it when the person got on the phone with me. They called me out of the blue, and because, you know, I hadn't talked to them for a week. Okay, I hadn't talked to them for a week. I mean, maybe I was going through something. They don't know. But here they are calling me. And they asked me, what happened? Where have you been? I'm about to tell them, and then they hung up on me. You know, part of me was like, what? Why did they do that? And then as I was calling back and texting back saying, how dare you hang up on me? And then God just snapped. He said, hold on. Hold on, brother Brian. Guess what? This person is not a person that, A, I want you to be around. B, you done your best. You done your best to try and lift them up, try to encourage them, try to show them the light, try to show them the right way, show them what they needed to do. They talked about how they needed to move into a better neighborhood, better place, and better environment. You pointed them in the right direction, except they didn't want to go that way. They wanted to come in your direction. They wanted to come in your world and invade it and make you become what you never wanted to become. And quite frankly, then I realized that. And then there are other people that are around me, you know, there's still people around me that encourage me, you know, and it made me think. I'm like, okay, I need to be around the people that encourage me more. Yeah, I need to talk to the people that encourage me more instead of being around the people that are trying to tear me down, instead of asking me for money all the time and never paying me back, and people that just want me to come in their neighborhood and not come to mine. I mean, I get it, you know, and then it just made me think about all that stuff, and, you know, and then everything that led up to this word today, because because it said, you know, first point, I'm going to give you 3 points as always, guys, and then I'm out. And the first point is, knowing right is fine, but doing right is more empowering. I'll say that again. Knowing right is fine, but doing right is more empowering. And when I thought about that, I was like, you know, especially with that, I was like, you know what? People come around me and they encourage me all the time. I have a few people that lift me up unexpectedly. Like the person that I mentor, they contact me pretty much almost every day, send a text just saying, I'm praying all is well and whatnot. And it lifts me up, you know, because it's great to know that somebody out there is trying to encourage me. And, you know, because I do that all the time. I reach out to a lot of people. Not a lot of people reach back to me, and that's fine. I'm not hating on them, and I know many may be listening. And don't worry, I understand you got lives lived, and sometimes it's hard for you all to reach out to talk to anybody either. So it's cool, and I'm okay with that because now I understand how it feels when I probably reach out to you when you're probably at your lowest. Because when somebody's reaching out to me when I'm at my lowest, it lifts me up. It empowers me. So, you know, and also, I know right. Now, I haven't always done right. I'm not going to get on here and say that I'm perfect. I'm not going to get on here and claim that because I'm not. And I know you're not either, and it's cool. We're striving to be more perfect every day. And that's great. You know, I'm like, I'm always knowing right, and I'm always trying to do right. You know, it isn't easy to do right, everyone. You know it. I definitely know it. It's not easy to get up and do the right thing all the time. Sometimes you want to do the wrong thing. You're always seeing someone else get away with it, and you're like, why come I can't do that? They doing it. Why can't I? You know, that's the first thing you probably say to yourself. And if you do it, then you find out why you shouldn't have been doing it, because the difference is maybe that person doesn't know right. So therefore, they're not going to do right if they know wrong. In other words, they do wrong because they know wrong. So therefore, it is your job and it's your mission to empower them. It's your mission to change that paradigm for them. In other words, you are to be the one to empower them with not just giving them the knowledge of right, but showing them what it's like to do right. that one's a hard one to grasp around. But it also kind of reminds me about what it says in verse 26. For if we willfully persist in sin after having received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. That's deep. That's kind of like saying that after all this, all that knowledge I gave you of the truth, and you still want to go and do the wrong thing, that means you just pretty much put everything that Jesus did for our sins, you put all our sins back on the table. Jesus took the sins off the table, other than say, look, you're all forgiven. You're forgiven. I've made this sacrifice, done this sacrifice for you, for in your sins. So therefore, you should be able to do right for the rest of your life, if possible. But since you decided to not do right after I've told you all these things, well, the sins are back on the table, and then you're going to be held accountable for them. It's kind of a bitter pill to swallow, especially on a new year. But then again, with it being a new year, maybe this is the time for you to do something bigger than a resolution. If you have to make a resolution, how about this one? I'm going to do right this year no matter what. I'm going to be right no matter what. I'm going to spread the message of doing right, believe that or not. And that kind of like leads me to point number two. After knowing right is fine, but doing right is more empowering. How about this one? Someone inspired or encouraged you. Why aren't you doing the same thing? I'll repeat that again for those taking notes. Someone inspired or encouraged you. Why aren't you doing the same thing? You know what? This point right here got me. You know, when it was given to me, when the message was given, delivered to me, and this point came up, it got me. Because it reminded me of when I was younger, coming up, you know, going to church. You know, I went, at first went sporadically. Well, it wasn't my choice at that time. I mean, I couldn't drive and I couldn't choose the church I went to. But growing up, it was kind of hard. You know, when I got in church, you know, I just looked at people and I had that that analytical eye, you know, that analytical eye, almost critical, almost judgmental. And, you know, and here I am, I had that look, I had that spirit in me. I guess I had, and plus also had the spirit of knowledge and truth and wisdom in me. In other words, my future was in me. And the deacon at the church I grew up at, he sat me down. He sat me down because he saw it. He saw two things in me. He saw the person I was going to become, and he probably also saw the person that I was and was on my way of becoming if I did not get checked, so to speak. And he sat me down and he gave me the first scripture I've ever remembered and memorized. And I'm just going to do the first verse of it. It was Matthew 7:1. Judge not that ye be not judged. And I remember it because from the King James Version, because that's the translation I grew up with. I remember it vividly because, you know what? He saw that I had that eye, that judgmental eye. But also, he saw that I also had an encouraging eye. It also had an opportunity to uplift others and also to sit down and be compassionate to others, if possible, you know. And the moment he said that, it clicked because I started looking at the Bible. Because when I was a young kid, I read all New Testament back and forth. I read it from beginning to end like it was like a regular old book. But I read it with no understanding of what I was reading. And at that point, I was like, whoa, I need to start reading it some more. I need to start reading with understanding. And then when I started doing that, it started to click a little bit more. It started to click. And then as I grew older, I began to understand what the deacon was trying to do for me. He was trying to point me in the right direction, point me in the direction that I was destined to be, that I was called to be, that I was purposed to be before I was ever born. And as I was growing up, as I started to mature, and then I accepted the call, then I started thinking. I wasn't thinking about myself. I wasn't thinking about big churches, big fame, and all that stuff. I mean, it came with it to a degree, but the biggest thing I was most concerned about and I was praying for the most was to pass on this knowledge, pass on the wisdom, being able to mentor somebody. And I don't get to do that every day. I don't always, the opportunities weren't there for me. I tried with one person. It didn't work out. But then again, I didn't really exactly put forth that that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to like take him under my wing, but I didn't really exactly say, hey, man, I'm taking you under my wing. And then I've had a few others come to me wanting me to show them the way. One of the biggest challenges I had was my cousin. He's a young man, young preacher, and he's great. You know, every now and again that we do talk, and my biggest goal is to like lift him up. I was like, dude, take it easy. You're doing a great thing. You don't have to go overboard, because if you go overboard, what's the purpose? If you're going overboard, then the message is going to get lost. Don't go overboard. Just let it marinate in your soul, and then everyone will see it. You know, if it's from God, it's going to show. And then I got someone else recently reached out to me and said they wanted me to mentor them. And y'all don't understand that I'm inspiring and encouraging them. But at the same time, in the same token, they're inspiring and encouraging me. Because, you know, I could have given up. I could have stopped doing this. I could have stopped everything. There's been days where I've said on this journey that, nah, enough's enough. I'm done. I'm done, son. But you know what? God said, nah, you ain't done. You ain't done yet. You know? And that's great, because as we continue to go on in the scripture, I don't want to feel that worst punishment. You know, I don't want to feel it. Like it says in 29, verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? I don't know about you guys. I do not want to tick off Jesus. I don't. Not like that. You know, I might disagree with my walk sometimes. You know, I might disagree with where my life is going. But you know what? I am not going to turn from it. Not like that. And that leads me to point three. You know, after knowing right is fine, but doing right is more empowering, and knowing that someone inspired or encouraged you, why aren't you doing the same thing? How about this one? Number three. This one might hurt somebody, and it might sting like it stung me a little. Don't ever give in to the temptation to return to what you know is wrong. Ooh, I'll say it again. Don't ever give in to the temptation to return to what you know is wrong. You know, the other day, saw a friend. I decided to put, they listened to my podcast, and I'm thankful and grateful, and I know they're probably listening now. They'll be shocked to know that they're part of this message today, but I'm going to go on ahead and say it. I decided to play some of my old music to them, music that I recorded as a rapper. Now, if you are a long-time listener to my podcast, you can go way back. I've actually posted some of those songs on here, but that's another story. One of the songs I decided to play, they, instead of going beyond the flaws in it, because I hear the flaws more than anyone else, they actually heard the flaws and criticized me about it. You know, I'm not knocking the criticism, okay, because I can take it. I can. But there was a time I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it when you criticized my music. I knew the flaws. I know what my flaws were on mic. I didn't work in a studio. You know, I never went to a recording studio and recorded a song ever. If I did, the closest I did was at a theme park, and it was me covering a song. I did two songs, and only one of them was pretty good. But in terms of this song, I wanted them to hear the passion. I wanted them to hear the skill. I wanted them to hear something that my 17-year-old self would probably be more impressed with than my now 40-year-old self would have been. You know, because I found a way to make myself sound professional. But they criticized me. They criticized me. Now, believe it or not, this is where this word comes into play. Where this point definitely comes into play for me. I said, I could go back and write a song. I could write a song talking about this moment. I could go back and record it with something, anything, fight with all my strength to get it done the right way or whatever, get it sounding just like a real professional record. Then I thought to myself, hold up, do you really want to go back to doing this? You got out of this. There are some people that talk to me that want me to go back to rapping. And you know what? It's cool. I'm probably going to get that for the rest of my life, and it's all right. I still got the skills. I still got it. I still practice it. I'm not interested. You know, I'm not interested in it because that's not my call right now. That's not what I'm about right now. I could have done what my mother wanted me to do some years back, wanted me to do gospel rap. And I'm like, it's not easy doing gospel rap. It's hard enough getting a sermon done. Imagine how hard it is to do a gospel rap, and it's not easy. And I admit that. I'm like, it's easier to write about all the other stuff that goes on in my life than it does to write that. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. God knows it. I know it. I know my faults and I know my weaknesses. But the point is, I wasn't going to give in to the temptation to return to what I know was wrong for me. I knew it where the route of being that person, that rapper, was going to take me. You know, and I knew it. I knew it back then, and I know it today. But the one thing that I'm proud of, and I'm happy for it, and I'm glad that God has delivered me from, he showed me another life. He showed me another way, guys. He showed me a better way, actually. He said, look, Brian, I know that you love doing that. How about this? And yes, God said this to me. He said, how about this? You continue to do those mixtapes that you do, that you put, you know, those playlists you put together on your Apple Music thing account. You do that. It's good. It's great because that's what you love. You loved it. You can't deny it. Yes, some of the songs are not clean, but you know what? That's okay. You loved it. You continue your love of it. So by doing that, it'd be all good and be all gravy. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what, God, that's a good idea. I want to keep doing that because it's cathartic for me. And yes, I enjoy doing that, but I finally learned how to redirect that energy. That energy that I would have given in and done whatever. This year I was going to do another album. I was going to do one more album and I was out. I was going to be out. I was like 40 years old, I'm out. You know, I know, young, but still, in terms of, for me, doing rap, I've been doing it for almost 25 years. That's a quarter of my life. And, you know, I've been doing it since high school. You know, I never got anywhere with it, not because I didn't want to. Now, don't get me wrong, I could have gone somewhere with it. But when I saw some of my favorites getting murdered because of what they do, I realized that I was like, that's not the lifestyle I want, even if I am positive. I don't want it. And so I know that God delivered me from it. So when you all, if anybody had ever heard me rap in a church, doing gospel rap or rap in someplace else, guess what? I poured my heart out, did it, done. I'm great. I only wanted to make a CD, made my own CDs. So therefore, I did not need to step into that limelight anymore. But back to the word, because I know some of y'all are saying, where are you going with this? You know, I was looking at verse 30 here. Verse 30, it says, "For we know the one who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge his people." Verse 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Other words, guys, here's the greatest encouragement I could ever give you, or anybody could ever give you. If you know right, just do right. Don't cut corners. Cutting the corners may seem good at first. It may seem like, I was looking at the new Wonder Woman movie. This is a perfect example. I was looking at the new Wonder Woman movie. It was at the beginning of the movie where young Diana, young Wonder Woman, she was in a race. She was one of the youngest people in the race. And at one point, she got knocked off her horse and pretty much kind of got lost in the race, and she was losing, but she saw a shortcut. She saw it. She saw the shortcut. She was taking it. And she was almost there. She was going to be number one. She was going to be in first place. And they pulled her out from the race. One of the warriors pulled her out from the race right in the middle of it, just when she was winning. She was mad. She was angry because she said, "I was number one. I was going to get there. I found the quickest way." And they were like, "No. That lie will travel with you." In other words, that's not the truth. The truth of the matter is you were losing. You were going to lose. Accept it sometimes. Sometimes you got to accept it. In other words, the shortcut, it may be good, but somebody's going to know about it. That somebody in this case, I'm going to take it another way. That somebody in this case is God. He knows what you were about to do. That shortcut was wrong. But you know, and in some cases, he pulled you from it. You may not have liked it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. The greatest encouragement for you is live your truth. Don't live your lie. If all you're going to be doing, most of you going to be doing, is drinking. And first you're saying it's social, but then it turns out it's not social anymore. You're just drinking and you're always waking up wasted. Guess what? That's you trying to live in your lie, live in your truth. Don't worry about it. The truth may hurt at first, but it also will set you free. If you learn to live in your truth, live in your truth. It's not hard. Yes, it's hard in the beginning, but guess what? In the end, once you've mastered it, guess what? Even that moment will feel like nothing to you. It won't be a shortcut anymore. Taking the shortcut way out by, as one person once told me, drowning my sorrows. No, drowning your sorrows, guess what? Once you get sober, your sorrow's going to be waiting for you right there at the bay. Going to be saying, "Hey, I've been waiting for you to wake up. Let's get back together again." Don't know. So guess what, guys? Stop living in your lie. Start this year by living in your truth. You have 360-some days to get that inside your heart, to live in your truth this year. Last year was last year. Some of y'all may,
I've learned, started learning how to live in your truth, but you learned in it, learn how to do it by duress. Some of y'all still ain't learned, but that's okay. You still have 360 some more days to do it. Come on, guys. Let's live in our truth this year. This year. Let's make this year that year of living in your truth. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this word. We want to thank you for the message that was received. We want to thank you for allowing me one more time to be able to give your word, oh Heavenly Father. Thank you for emptying my spirit out and filling it up with your Holy Ghost, oh Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength and my most blessed Redeemer. We want to thank you once again for this word. We want to pray that it gets out. We want to pray that it expands beyond the reach. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stay tuned. If you're enjoying this wonderful podcast and you want to hear more, please make sure that you click the follow or subscribe button on this wonderful podcast so you can stay up to date with the latest and the greatest and be able to listen to past podcasts that you have not yet heard before but want to hear again. Also, don't forget to click the share button. The share button is also important, so therefore you can share this podcast with all your friends, loved ones, and acquaintances. Look forward to hearing from you. Peace. Thank you for listening to this podcast today. We pray that the message has uplifted you in a way and encouraged you in a way that is going to bring out the best in you and bring out the God in you. If you do not have a church home right now, we pray that you get connected with a church today. If you want to be connected to my podcast in a church-like way, you can always reach out at bpughsley@yahoo.com. And I most definitely will reach out to you in the best way possible. So right now, we just want to say thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this message right now. We want to thank you for this podcast. We pray for every person who is listening right now, Heavenly Father, under the sound of my voice. Continue to guide us, encourage us, teach us, bless us, and our families as well. We pray that as you dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And see you next week.
Amen. Don't be ashamed to call his name.
This was an LTD Entertainment presentation.
Hello, welcome to Safe Haven Podcast. I am your host, Reverend Brian C. Pusey, welcoming you to a very beautiful Sunday morning, Monday morning, or whatever day that you have decided to listen to this broadcast. Now, yes, as the title has suggested, that today's message is a rebroadcast from a message I did a few months ago. It was a very powerful message about encouragement. And during this time of the year, a lot of us need a lot of encouragement. Yes, we made it to September, but there's a lot of things going on with us right now. So the Lord put this on me to bring this back, bring this message back one more time with a few adjustments to everything around it. Like, for instance, altar prayer is going to be brand new. I'm going to give a complete intro to the sermon. And then we're going to get right to it. But yes, as for what was supposed to be done, scheduled this week, that is okay. You know, God placed on our heart to do certain things and do other things. But I want to just want to let everyone know that I am doing well. It will be a fresher sermon next Sunday. But as for this Sunday, due to situations beyond my control, I wasn't able to really focus on giving a complete sermon like I planned to do. But that is okay. God is still going to keep this podcast going. And plus, if he even gives me a nugget of something to bring to you, and if I've already brought it to you, but he wanted me to bring it back to you, but with a fresh spin on it, I shall. So today's message will be the great encouragement. So it's a rebroadcast, like I said before, but you know what? Just because the meat is the same doesn't mean that it was cooked the same. It's cooked a little bit differently today due to what we're doing around it. So without further ado, we're going to get right with the program.